Hope you had a good holiday season. Hope that you were blessed. I know that God treated you well, but your family may not have. That's okay. His family didn't treat him well either. I have a sermon for today. The title is, His Life is Our Light. His Life is Our Light. It comes out of Scripture in John 1, 4 through 5. If you want to turn there, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In Him was life. Life and the life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. Jesus' life was the light of men. His life is light. How He lived, what He did, showed us the way to illuminate our path. His words and deeds are written in the Bible to show us hope. Jesus' life, what was in Him, what do we talk about when we talk about life? And we say, my life consists of this. What did I do? What is it? What is all of the things that make up my life? My life, I was born in Minnesota. That's part of my life. You know, I grew up my entire life in southern Minnesota, south of the Twin Cities. That's my life. My life was, I spent a lot of time in 4-H doing things and showing horses. That's my life. I hated school. That's my life. I didn't hate school. I didn't love school, but I didn't hate school. I did all kinds of things. My parents were always involved in all kinds of things and drugged me along to make me do all kinds of things. Sometimes it was. You know, my life. I remember my life. Going to 4-H, going to the county fair and doing the 4-H building and always serving people and having to put things together and kind of a lot of the behind the scenes things that you would have to do that most people don't see. They see, you know, they'll see out there, like if you're showing an animal or whatever, parading this animal around, but you don't know how many hours went into training the animal, preparing the animal, taking care of the animal, brushing. You know, I did sheep a couple of years. Do you know how messy they can get? Yeah, I knew that Wes would find that amusing. You know, this is like they always seem to get everything in their coat. And usually right before you go out to show, they got something happened. Now you got to try to clean it off real quick. Try to make it look nice. You're always working on keeping them clean and shearing them and cleaning their face. And always, yeah, it's kind of like how it is dealing with sheep. You know, that's what you do. You're always working on them. So, you know, pasturing's not much different. You know, our life consists of the things that we did. I was in the Marine Corps. That's my life. That's part of who I am. The life of Jesus is what He did, who He is, what He exemplified. You know, He was born. He was born in Bethlehem, the city of David, of the line of David. He was born of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is His life. He was uncorrupted by the sin that plagued humanity, the corrupt soul that we were all born with. He was not plagued with that because He was not born of this world, though He's born in the world. He is the light of men. He illuminates. His life speaks to us about light and life and the way things are. I think the greatest thing is, you know, I know that I don't have my scriptures in the right order. But I didn't have an order, so I just have them. Okay. It says that... where is it? Right, John 8. John 8, 23 and 24. And he said to them, "You are of beneath, and I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins." We are all dying in our sins. Every single person that was born from Adam to Jesus died in their sins. And they only had a hope. They had a hope in God. They had a hope that God had a way. Jesus is that light. They didn't know who God was. They didn't see and understand God. I heard it expressed this way. How can an ant perceive a human? In the same way, how can we perceive God? Unless a human becomes an ant, to then explain to the ant what a human is. And that's what God did. He became a human to explain to us. Because in the Old Testament, we see man, we are an ant, in comparison to the greatness of who God is, and majesty and glory. And we see all the terrible things that happened in the Old Testament, and we say, oh, that's a terrible God. But we didn't understand God. We didn't know God. We didn't understand the situation and circumstance until Jesus came. Then Jesus became light. We were in darkness, and now he has shown us light. That's why whenever we look at God in the Old Testament, you have to look through it through the lens of Jesus. Because Jesus said, "I am the expressed image of God, light." He is the expressed image. Light not only is illumination, like we have the sun and we have the lights in here. Light is illumination. But light can also be understanding. Light can be, oh, I get that now. Because now your understanding is illuminated. It's like learning math. I think most of us probably have a moment where we struggled with math at some point, or I will just broaden this and say some subject where we were struggling trying to understand something and all of a sudden it clicked. Oh, I get it. Somebody's telling you directions and you're thinking, I have no idea where they're talking about, and all of a sudden they say, oh, yeah, now I know where you're talking about, and then everything falls into place. It's all illuminated. Everything begins to make sense because now you have light. You have understanding. Jesus is that light. He's the one that brings understanding and revelation to our lives, to our understanding of who God is. That's why we need to see God through Jesus. Because without Jesus, we're in darkness. He said he is from above. If he's from above, then he came from above and he knows from above. We're from beneath. We don't understand. But he did. He knew who God was. He understood how spiritual things worked. We didn't. Still don't in a lot of ways. We're still trying to figure this thing out. But we have revelation in Christ Jesus to help us understand what to do. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Did you see there's a qualifier in that statement? What's the qualifier? Following. Following. It doesn't say he who believes. It doesn't say he who is converted. It doesn't say he who is sincere in heart. It doesn't say he who had the most money. It said he who follows. It doesn't even say he who had the greatest anointing. He who follows. He who follows shall not walk in darkness. Which makes sense if he's the light. If you've ever been in a cave system, like an underground cave system, and they've turned off the lights on you, if you haven't, you're not truly going to understand this, but you'll get an idea. It's like when you're in there and they turn off the light, you cannot see anything. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it can be a bit terrifying. And if you're walking in darkness and you have somebody who has a light and you see that light and you're walking in that kind of darkness, you're going to want to stick with them as close as you can. And I think we've all realized that. We've all understood that. Which is why we follow Jesus. Because we know he has the light. But sometimes we can get distracted. And we might miss a turn or not notice that he kept going when we stopped. That's okay. He's still the light of the world. You just need to look up. See where he's at. We need to follow him. Because we need to have that light in our life. We usually find that we get into troubles when we stop following. Where is Jesus leading us? It's not always where do we think we need to go, but where is Jesus leading us? And if we trust that he has the light, then we trust that he knows where he's going. I mean, we all have that tendency of saying, well, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Yeah, I've been this way before. But have we? It's like we need to follow him. We need to see where he's going. You know, when we follow after him, we walk in his light. We don't walk in our own light. We walk in his light. He is the light. And without him, we're in darkness. And if we walk in him, then we know where he shows us where we're going. He shows us where we're going. What's the next step, Lord? This. Okay. But where are we going? You just worry about this. Just don't worry about what's coming next. I know if he showed you everything, you might become terrified and run. Just worry about the next step. Just worry about, you know, where you're going next. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life." That's not the scripture I have written down. John 3:17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil." Yep. It's easier to hide the junk when there's no light. That's why you throw it under the bed. There's no light under there. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. God did not send, think about this for a minute. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Contrast that with end times prophecy. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. It's not God's design, desire, or nor hope to see the world destroyed, but to see it saved. That was why Jesus came, that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. God knows where this world is going to end up. When we talk about end times things, it's not the judgment of God that we're seeing. It's the consequences of sin. God's purpose, plan, and desire is to build an ark in Christ through the church, to bring as many as possible to salvation so that when the destruction comes, they might be saved. The light is that this world is already being destroyed. You know, the stuff that we've been seeing last year, all the stuff that we went through, it's not God's judgment. It's life. It's what's already here. It's being exposed. We're seeing it more clearly for what it is. And unfortunately, I believe the part of the reason is because the church has lost its power to stand up and continue to affect society. The devil is gaining preeminence through social media, through news, through movies, through all of these things. He is shining his dark light on things, his deception, his delusions. There is. You read some of the comments that people make, and you realize that that doesn't work in real life. You're watching too much TV. That's not how things really happen. And people believe that things like this actually exist, that they believe that fantasy is reality. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good if they keep walking in that deception, in that darkness, because they think the darkness is light. But we have the light. And we still have opportunity. We still have this opportunity to shine the light. We still have the opportunity to show the truth of who and what God is. It's not done yet. We're still here. We still have the breath. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. We have opportunity. Because the reality is that the devil can't compare with the truth of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can compare with that. The power in truth will always trump the power in a lie. If a person is willing to grab onto it. The world is already condemned because they did not believe. They do not believe. Therefore, they're condemned. And we see what's going on around us. And we're getting a taste of what's going on really in the world. It's a sobering thought. What do we do about it? What do we do? How do we do it? Jesus is the light of life. God, where are we going? What are we doing? What's next? Sometimes you have to see. I remember. Remember 9/11? Before 9/11, there was not a whole lot of individuals lining up to get into the military. They weren't all excited about joining up to go fight for the country. 9/11 hit, and there were a lot of people ready to sign up because they saw the reality of the situation and they said, something needs to be done. I'm in. I'm willing to put aside and sacrifice the things that I have, the comfortableness of the things in my life, to do the will of God. Well, For us, it's the will of God. But to do the will of our nation so that this doesn't happen again. And we look at our family. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to do to see that this doesn't happen again? We can't do everything, but we can do our part. What is God asking us to do? If He's the light and He's asking us to do something, there's a reason for it. And we need to trust that light, trust what He's asking us to do. What is He asking us to do? Where is He asking us to go? You know, I think most of us here, I believe that I can say, have gone through uncomfortable things because they believed in God, because they chose to be obedient. Thank you for being obedient to the Word of God, for being obedient to the light of God in your life. Thank you. Keep it up. Keep doing it. We all need to trust God. Even I have things that I've been holding back from because I'm not sure I really want to go there because I know it's going to cost me. I know it's going to cost me. But then we have to begin to ask the question, is it worth the sacrifice to see the solution? Or is it worth my pleasure to see the destruction? That's a hard word. Believe it or not, that was probably more to me than any of you. They choose darkness rather than light. And in humanity, in the scheme of things, in the reality of things, the percentage of people who come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ in all of humanity is very small in comparison to the total number of people. We've seen massive outpourings of the Spirit of God and mass salvations in the thousands of the tens of thousands. And in the reality, that is still a very small number. When we talk about the revivals of the past and where huge areas got saved, it's a small number. And if you think about it right now, 1 million people is a small number. In comparison to the total number of people on the earth, 1 million number is pretty small. I'll take 1 million saved. I'll take 2 million saved. I'll take 10 million saved. I'll take 100 million saved. I'll take as many as we can get. Because the option is far worse. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do to walk out what God wants in this area? How are we going to walk in His light? If we want to walk in His light, we got to walk in unity. We got to get along. It's no fun to walk. It's no fun to be in a family where everybody's fighting with one another. Everybody wants to go to the friend's house, the people's house, where everything works, you know, where everybody gets along. Not that you know, siblings always fight, but you know what I mean. Where there's a healthy atmosphere. Yeah, they fight, but they love each other and they get along. They sometimes fight. Not all times fight. People want to be in a place like that. A lot of my friends wanted to come over to my house. My parents were nicer than theirs. Not that they weren't hard. Not that they didn't demand things of me. But my parents were healthy people. They raised me well. They did a good job. Thank you. We need to have a healthy family. I think we do. We need to keep it that way. We need to work, you know, if there's issues, we need to work through them. There's going to be new people. It's like adopting. When you adopt, you're getting a kid that's got problems. It's just a reality. When we get new people into the family, they're going to have issues. And we're going to have to help them through it. That means that, you know, we're going to have to work at it. We got to love one another. It's more important for us to walk in love and unity in the Holy Spirit than it is for us to debate about theology. Notice I said in the Holy Spirit, because you can be in unity outside of the Holy Spirit. We need to be unified in the Holy Spirit. It needs to be our heart's desire, our plan, our desire to be about what God wants. What does God want? He wants us to love one another. He wants us to walk in unity and help one another. He wants us to be a blessing to the communities that we're in. And to be that light in this world. He's not here anymore. We are. And we are that light now. As we follow Jesus, that light shines through us into this world, into this darkness, to bring them hope, to bring them life, to help them see where they're headed. You know, there's benefits for walking in the light. There's a lot of them. I just want to highlight one. John 8, 31 and 32. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. You know, when we walk in his light, he shows us the truth. And he causes us to be free because his light illumines us. There's no darkness in him. There's no shadow. There's no deception. He is who he is. He's not trying to con us into something. He's trying to get us free. He has an agenda. But it's not a hidden agenda. The agenda has always been there. It's always been in everybody's face. He came to set us free. He came to bring salvation to all of humanity. And his agenda is to bring salvation to every person who is willing to receive. So, you know, God's agenda through your life is going to be, how can he use you to reach others who need to be saved? No, those people that you're at work, the family members, your friends that you have in your life, clients, the gal at the grocery store, the guy at the parking garage. They don't call it that anymore. But oh, whatever. You know, it's like wherever you go. God's wanting to use us to spread the light. I mean, that doesn't mean that you gotta go up to somebody and go like this. I'm sorry. Look at the light! Look at the light! You don't have to do that. We just share the light. We let the light shine out of us, and it will draw those that are seeking to be saved. I always love it when the doctor does that. Do you have to shine that thing in my eye? John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. You know, if we take this into what we've been talking about, that Jesus' life is the light of the world, and that men would rather choose darkness than light, it says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're in darkness, you're in the devil's realm, and the only thing that's in there is death and destruction, to kill, steal, and destroy. But men would rather have that than the light. Because they love their sin. Because they think that their sin is who they are. In some cases, they've become to identify so heavily with their addiction, their sin, their desires, that they no longer know who they truly are. All they know is the sin. This is who I am. I'm that guy. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Some people want light, but they don't feel like that they deserve light. And that's where the gospel comes in. That's where the beauty of the cross of Christ and the love of God shines its light to say that there is still hope. There is still hope. Yes, you've done vile and disgusting things in your life, but God is well able. You don't have to stay that way. There is help. There is light. There is life, abundance out there, ready for people to receive it. God came to give life and life abundantly. You know, when you have an abundance, what do you do with it? Marv, if you had $100 million, what would you do with it? Bingo. Life and life abundantly. God wants us to have abundant life so that we have to give it away. You have so much, you just can't use it all. You've got so much life that you just can't use it all. Give it away. You have so much health. You got so much health in your body, so much life in your body. You've got so much, you can give it away. Peter, when he was walking into the temple, saw a lame man begging for alms. Peter said, looked at him, he says, "Look upon me." And the beggar looked upon him expectantly. He said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but that which I have, I give." He had an abundant life. He said, "I've got so much health and so much life, let me give you some." It says that there was so much life and so much health in them that their shadow fell across people. They were so full of light that even their darkness gave life. Their shadow fell across people and gave them life. The same spirit, the same Spirit of God dwells in us that did those things, dwells in you. That same Spirit. Every miracle you read in the Bible is the same Spirit that did that, dwells in you. You know, when you find yourself in a situation where you need superhuman strength, guess what? God can give it to you. He did it with Samson. And he wasn't even a very good prophet. He wasn't a very good judge. Read his life. He was kind of a knucklehead. And it says that the greatest of the Old Testament prophets is less than the least of the children of God in the New Covenant. everything they did. Everything they did. Jesus said, what you've seen me do, you can do, and greater. Oh, that'll bake your brain. Jesus, the Son of God, said that you'll do greater than I did. What? We don't do it for our own glory. We do it for His. We know it's not us. We know it's not us. But we have these preconceived notions and ideas. We have this darkness that still dwells in us that we need to expunge, we need to get rid of, and realize that the life of God is in us wanting to do miraculous things. Let's let it. Let's let it. How do we do it? Well, if He's got the light, where do you think we need to be? With Him. With Him. We dwell with Him. We live with Him. Moses, Old Testament, Moses went up and fellowshipped with God. Just to let you know, when he fellowshipped with God, it was Jesus he was fellowshipping with. Every manifestation in the scripture that you see where God is, that's Jesus. Every manifestation on the earth, that's Jesus. Because God the Father is outside of time. God the Son is inside. He became born of this world. He's the one that's here. When you see that manifestation. So when Moses went up and he spoke face to face with God, he was speaking with Jesus. When it says that God wrote with his own hand the tablets, it was Jesus. And it says when he spent time with God, when he spent time with Jesus, when he spent time there, and he came out, it says that his face glowed. And it disturbed people. How'd you like to have so much light, it kind of disturbs people? Some people need to be disturbed. They need a good shock to say, okay, yeah, there's something supernatural going on here, something beyond my ability to comprehend and understand. Yeah, yeah. That's wisdom. You're beginning to understand you don't know everything. The light. When we fellowship with God, we begin to leak light. Let's leak some light. In him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That light now resides in you. You comprehended it. You understood it. The revelation became alive inside of you, and you have become born again. You're born new. You are no longer from above or from below. You are from above. And you have the Spirit of God residing on the inside of you. And if the Spirit of God that rose Christ from the dead dwells in you, He will give life to your mortal body. Life to your mortal body. We have so much. We have so much more that we have to experience yet. Let's dig in. Let's grab a hold. Let's be little Christs. Let's have people take notice of us and say they've been with Christ. They've been with Jesus. Because of the power and the authority that we've been given in Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this gift that you have given us, that all of us have come to a knowledge of you, that we love you, that we know you, and we are known of you. And we just thank you, Father. We ask that you would help us to continue to step in and enter into the fullness of what you have for us. Lord, help us to hear clearly what it is. Help us to walk down that path and help us to resist our enemy, because we know that he doesn't want us to go there. Help us to have deaf ears to his whisperings and have open ears to the declaring of your truth. Lord, we love you and we exalt you and we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. You guys have a wonderful week and be blessed.